Well, you know, this past week has been a week of celebration, hasn't it? I mean, you've gotten together with family and friends, little kids have ripped apart things, and whee, you know, they're all running around and stuff like that. You've had a good time, you haven't seen people in years or whatever, so you get together and you talk about stuff, about what's happened during the past year, and about stuff you're doing now, and some things you're going to be doing, I don't know, in the coming year with the rest of your life. And it got me to thinking about all that we've done this year as a congregation and what we're doing now and what we're planning on doing for 2015. And so today we're going to go ahead and do our best to review many of our accomplishments and events and try to go ahead and refocus on our objectives and make the promise to renew our commitments for a coming year. And to do that, we're going to go ahead and take a look at Philippians chapter 3 and verses 10 through 14. And there in Philippians 3, Paul is writing to the churches of Christ at the Roman colony of Philippi to thank them for the gift that they had sent him while he was in prison at Rome. And here in chapter 3, there appears to be a group who are trying either to win back Jewish Christian converts or to convert Gentile Christians to some form of Judaism or to force old covenant circumcision and laws and rules and regulations, especially circumcision, on them as a part of their condition of salvation under the new covenant. And so Paul tells them, been there, done that. That's not the right way to go. He says, if anyone could boast or brag about their Jewishness, Paul could. But all the rituals and accomplishments that Paul performed and achieved under the old covenant, Paul says, are nothing compared to having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And so rather than focus on the old covenant and the rituals and regulations there, Paul says, starting in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Then I press on, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, just prior to verse 10 here, up in verses 5 and 6, Paul reviewed many of the accomplishments he achieved as a Hebrew of Hebrews. And so let's do the same thing. Let's go ahead and review some of our accomplishments and events throughout the year, but not as a Hebrew of Hebrews, but as servants of Christ. So looking back to the beginning of 2014, our front bathrooms, for those who haven't been here in over a year, you might have noticed something different. Our front bathrooms were not only remodeled, but rebuilt, thanks to George Hayes and Dan Avery. And as spring rolled around, Bill Suva was baptized into Christ in April. And not too long after that, Paul Reganathan came to visit us in May to talk about all the wonderful work that we helped to support in India. About a month earlier, the junior high and high school classes, which includes Devin Avery and Timothy and Thomas Polis and Sierra Dyer, went down to Santa Clara right next door to the new 49ers stadium, despite, you know, some objections by Jim McPeak, for the Leadership Training for Christ conference. And during the summer, when Moms Are Us and Parents Night Out take a break, the ladies met for a few weeks during the summer in the park for a wonderful Bible study led by Virginia. About a month later, George and Anita were baptized into Christ in June. And then James and Stacy Bustamante were baptized into Christ a week or two later, along with Jennifer Morris. And shortly afterwards, Stacy's daughter, Sierra Hardiman, was baptized in July. And in July, we had an awesomely weird VBS, our weird animal VBS, thanks to so many people, actually probably everybody here in one way or another contributed to that. Also in July, Javen and Felicia Adams, and that's Felicia, you know, Jim's granddaughter, they were married the 20th up at Lake Tahoe during the family encampment. And just one more thing that happened in July that I can recall, Asia Morris was baptized into Christ. And then over the summer, Barbara Lass came back from her time in China with the China Now program, where she had the opportunity to share the Bible with those she came into contact with during those few years she was over there teaching English. When she came back to the States and her time was done there, you know, she began looking for work. And thankfully, she found a good teaching job rather quickly. But sadly, it wasn't local, so she had to move to Ukiah. And she's been back a couple of times since then. But, you know, we're thankful that she's back and did good things, and we helped to encourage her. And speaking of moving away, Mary McCourtney and moved to Roseville, and Pat Logsdon moved to New York, and that left the print ministry with a big hole that needed filling. And so Tommy Avery and Dave Grohl have stepped up and stepped in, and they've been doing excellent work back there collating and doing books and stuff like that, but they could still use some help, especially when Dave decides to go off sojourning with Charlotte, and you know, and Tommy will be back there trying to convince Merla, you know, you don't need to go over to Curves. You can just walk around here. Anyway, but, you know, they could still use some help. So, you know, if you can, ask Jim or Dave or Tommy how you could help out with the print ministry. And then in October, with the help of Randy Avery and Carol Days, we had one of the more successful harvest festivals in recent history, even with the rain, even with all of the regulations that we now have to follow. And if you weren't here for the festival festivities, it's really hard to put in words the amount of visitors and activities that went on in and around this building that one day back October 18th. I haven't seen it like that in the years so far that we've been here. One of the outstanding displays that was put up during that time was the replica of the Ark of the Covenant that's out there in the foyer that the high school Bible class completed under the direction of George Hayes. And then in November, Margaret and Grace and the Grawls made their annual visit to the Ronald McDonald House with soda tabs and pop tabs, whatever it is, and Beanie Baby hats. Not Beanie Baby hats, but they're not baby. They're not Beanie. They're small hats for babies. That's what they are. Okay. And other things with a total of $775 in donations. That's what it was all valued at. Also in November, we helped around 20 families with Thanksgiving baskets. Now, let me tell you about these baskets. I mean, they weren't just a frozen turkey and a can of rolls and a can of beans. All right, when we do a Thanksgiving basket, we do a Thanksgiving basket, okay? These are church folks with potluck-loving tummies. So our Thanksgiving baskets come with all that stuff and more. Pumpkin pie, whipped cream, stuffing, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, dinner rolls, and things I don't even remember. But I knew it was heavy. Two bags of heavy. The works, you see, all under the direction of Lisa Beard and Randy Avery. And speaking of doing things right, when Mission Sunday came, as Dave mentioned this morning, we far surpassed the goals that were set in the budget. $37,000. What an awesome collection for the missions program that we have and help encourage and do things around the world. And speaking of missions, some of us have gotten involved in World Bible School online nowadays to do local mission work through a campaign that's directed right at Sacramento. And that's coming along fairly well. If you want to get involved with that, you can see Dave or myself or Jim McPeak when he comes back from his little vacation. And just then, just a few weeks ago, we had quite a large group that went Christmas caroling. And Chris Lawson is still flying on cloud nine about all that. We went over this time to visit some members and even Virginia's mom and where they're at. And we sang Christmas carols. And we're looking to go down that same path again next year and try to visit some others that might be shut in and sing and encourage them because, you know, it lifted their spirits and it sure lifted ours. And just recently, although I didn't see them earlier, David and Pamela Combs placed membership with us. And if you haven't met them, when they come back, I'll point them out to you. Okay. And these are just some of the highlights of 2014. And if I missed anything, you can let me know and I'll try to do an addendum next week. The point is, we did a lot in 2014. The Bible was taught, outreach was made, souls were saved, missions were supported. We encouraged and were encouraged. We uplifted and we were uplifted. And so we can celebrate the season because it has been a good year. You can sit around, you can hear somebody mumble over, well, it has been a good year. For a small congregation, we do a lot. Okay? Don't let anyone ever convince you otherwise. Now, when the Apostle Paul lists all of his accomplishments as a Hebrew of Hebrews, he's not doing it to brag. And not that I'm trying to brag, you know, on us. Someone's got to once in a while, though. But Paul did it to say that while he did all that stuff, if it was only to please himself, then it was a loss. It was a disadvantage to his spiritual life, verse 7. And so those accomplishments in his life that did not point him to Christ, that did not draw him closer to Christ, that did not help him to better live for Christ, those things he got rid of. He got rid of them. Those things he considered loss for the sake of Christ. Of course, those things that kept him focused on Christ, and those things that drew him nearer to Christ, and those things that helped him to live more like Christ, those things he kept. And so he's saying to those Judaizers, circumcision of the flesh is out, and circumcision of the heart is in, Romans 2:29. And so as we review the many accomplishments and events of 2014, we clearly see that we do a lot for a little congregation. And the things that we do, we always want to make sure always for the sake of Christ so that we can, in fact, celebrate the season. Which brings us up to our second main point, and that is to refocus our objectives. To refocus our objectives. You see, after we go through and we review all the things, then we need to go ahead and make an assessment of things. And that's not always so fun. And if needed, we have to refocus our objectives to tweak things a little bit here and there, you see. Back in Philippians 3, in verses 10 through 12, Paul writes again, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, he says, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now take a look again at verses 10 and 11. Does Paul already know Christ? Yeah, he does. I mean, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Does Paul already know the power of Christ's resurrection? Well, yeah. I mean, Paul preached about it all the time, Acts 23:6. He says, hey, this is why you guys are questioning me, because I believe in the resurrection. I've been preaching it. Paul wrote about it, 1 Corinthians 15. Does Paul already suffer for Christ? Well, yeah. I mean, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29, Paul sure did and does. So then what does Paul mean when he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect? Well, just that, really. While Paul is a Christian, his goal is to have a deeper and more intimate knowledge of Christ that comes through living a life similar to Christ, a life that remains faithful to God and to the mission that Jesus was given as Savior of the world. And when we think about Christ and all that he went through, I mean, you've got the mocking and the beatings and the whipping and the crucifixion. Anyone else, a less faithful man, would have cracked and renounced God. You think about Paul himself, you know, a less faithful man would have just given up. Paul says that he wants to live the same kind of mission-filled, faith-filled, purpose-filled life that Jesus lived. And so just like Christ, when his time eventually comes, Paul will have died in the faith with complete assurance of his standing before God, so that he too will one day be resurrected just like Jesus was, just like Christ was, and just like the Christ promised for all of his faithful believers, that we too could all one day be resurrected just like Christ. And so Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so his goal is to grow in spiritual maturity. You say, this is the Apostle Paul. How can he grow? He can grow. If you ever get to the point where you think that you can't grow, you need to grow. Okay? This is the Apostle Paul. He needs to grow. See, that word perfect means to mature, to come to completion. All right. So his goal is to grow in spiritual maturity so that he can one day be Christ-like, not only in life, but in death and in the resurrection. So what does this all have to do with refocusing our objectives? Well, Paul has clearly stated what his objectives are in verses 10 and 11. And early in verses 7 through 9, Paul has gone ahead and quit. You know, he's kicked the habit. He's gotten rid of and thrown out and given up all those things that are rubbish, that are trash, that are dung, the King James will say, that are worthless, unless those things are things that help him to gain Christ or to win Christ. In other words, unless those things help him and others to grow closer to Christ spiritually, and to help him and others to make it to heaven, the goal, then he's not going to have anything to do with them. So as we review those events and accomplishments, not only congregationally, but in our own lives too, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are those things that we've simply wasted time on? At the same time, what are those things that have clearly helped to bring the lost to Christ? What are those things that have helped us personally and congregationally to grow closer to Christ and to each other in the body? And so we evaluate what we've done. We find out those things that don't help us to live the same kind of mission-filled and faith-filled and purpose-filled life that Jesus lived. And then, like Paul, we need to consider those things worthless, rubbish. Get rid of them. A key verse to remember, and all this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where Paul encourages the Christians at Corinth to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And so we examine ourselves, we examine what we do, and we see if we're in the faith and what we're doing. Is this all for the cause of Christ? We examine what we're doing personally and congregationally. And when we need to, we refocus our objectives, you see. And we make sure that we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And when we've done that, now then, point number three, we go ahead and we renew our commitments. We renew our commitments to those things. So looking back again at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so Paul stresses again this desire to continue to grow more and more in Christ, to mature in Christ. He leaves behind those things that are in his way, and he keeps on keeping on until Jesus comes or he goes to be with the Lord. And we are pretty well confident from the scriptures and extra-biblical history that Paul did in fact go to be with the Lord. He was martyred, as a matter of fact. But in the time that he had left, from the time that he wrote Philippians until he was martyred, Paul continued to grow and he continued to mature in Christ. You see, he didn't give up. Even though there are times when we look at the scripture and we think, hey, this man is stressed, he didn't give up. And so when a hurdle presented itself, well, he either jumped over it or he knocked it down or he went around it, okay? And when he did that, he did that because he was focused on his goal. He did that because his goal is where he wanted to get to. He did that because the goal that God has for us, for him, for us, for you and me, is not some distraction. It's not a squirrel, you know. It's not a time waster. And it's definitely not sinful at all. The goal is for you and me to remain faithful until death and to receive a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. The goal is to make it to heaven and to help as many other souls as possible find the way to live the way, helping them to stay on that way and finish the race, to get across, to get to that goal. And now, you know, we could turn over to chapters like Hebrews 11, which we just got up to in our adult Bible class in the auditorium. Or we could take a good hard look at the apostles' lives. Or we could reflect upon those strong and faithful in the churches of Christ today. And those faithful and true from the past who've now gone on to be with the Lord. And we could look to them and to their example. And we could try to be just as strong and as faithful and true. But know this, living a life of faith like Jesus is not a smooth road. You could look at all those places in Hebrews 11. You could look at other people's lives. And on that road, you know, there are potholes. There are detours. There are accidents, sometimes even complete closures of the road. But our goal is set before us. If we have our eyes fixed on the prize, then we commit our lives to reaching that goal, no matter what, to get that prize. We go around those difficulties that make the Harvest Festival a joy, you know. We do those things, and we get through, and we strive for the prize, you know. And we help as many as we can to get across that finish line. We might even have to stop if we need to and help them up. You probably heard this illustration before, but it's true. Back in 2012, after winning the 1600-meter race, Megan Vogel, a Columbus, Ohio high school track star, stopped running during the 3200-meter race and helped a fellow runner who collapsed to cross the finish line ahead of her. She just stopped, went back, picked her up, and they just made it across. And she gave up a position in the race, you see. You know, neither of them came in first, but they both crossed the finish line, you see. They both crossed the finish line. They both completed the race. They were both there to celebrate the season of winning. You know, none of us are ever going to come in first when it comes to making it to heaven. Because Jesus is already there first. He's number one, okay? All right? And because he was number one, it's not a race to get there first. We don't step on people to get up to heaven. You know? He's the one who defeated death. He's the one who won the victory for us. And so because of Christ, we're all winners already. We all can win the race when we finish the race because Jesus has helped us to cross the finish line. And so that means we, and again, that's you and me, right? You know, we need to stop and pick others up when they've fallen and help them to reach that heavenward goal, to reach others, to recruit others along the way, to say, hey, you, come along with us, so that as many as possible can cross that finish line and complete the race and celebrate together the season of victory. Of course, you know, to be able to run in such a race requires commitment. That's a word that's difficult for a lot of people to say. It's hard for people to say in weddings. It's hard for people to say in deals involving, I don't know, contracts, work, even bills that have to be paid. We see it definitely in relationships sometimes. Commitment. It requires commitment to run in such a race. Commitment to God. Commitment to our families. Commitment to each other in the Lord's church. And that's because from time to time, you know, we may feel like quitting the race. We may feel like giving up. But please don't. Jesus didn't quit. Paul didn't quit. The great cloud of witnesses, potholes, pits, and detours and all, they didn't quit. Some of them came close. But that's just the way it is, though, isn't it? It's not easy. No one ever said it was. People who say it is, well, they're not living in reality. As a matter of fact, it can be downright discouraging at times. But that's when we have to renew our commitment to God and to each other and the cause of Christ. You know, in what we understand to be his last letter before his death, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, these encouraging words to the young preacher at Ephesus by the same name, Timothy. And it shows his commitment to Christ and his church. And this is what Paul says. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You see, the Apostle Paul could clearly write those words with confidence, you know. He had gone through a lot. And he says, I finished the race. Now I have the assurance that Christ is going to reward me. And he says, but you see, it's not only for me who remain faithful. He says, but to all those who long for his appearing. He says, you remain faithful. You finish the race. You keep the faith. And you'll have that same crown of righteousness in store for you. It's my hope and prayer that we'll all be able to do the same, to receive that crown. Which is why we need to renew our commitment to Christ and to each other, to his church. So this morning we again talked about, a lot of things. Huh? We talked about reviewing our accomplishments and our events and the things that we've done. And we talked about the need to refocus our objectives where we need to. And we talked again about renewing our commitments. You know, we find that there's really a lot to celebrate in this season. There is a lot. I'd like to close with a brief story that connects with our lesson and then offer the invitation. It's a story of one of my favorite little chubby characters, Winnie the Pooh. Seems that one day Winnie the Pooh and his good buddy Piglet were out for an evening walk. And for quite some time they went along walking together and neither of them said anything. But then Piglet looks up to Pooh and he asks him, he says, well, when you wake up in the morning, Pooh, what's the first thing you say to yourself? Pooh Bear says, what's for breakfast? What do you say, Piglet? Piglet says, I say to myself, I wonder what exciting thing is going to happen today. I want you to think about that. You know, Pooh and Piglet are fictional characters. You know, but Pooh's first thoughts are turned to his tummy, his rumbly-tumbly. It turns to himself, while Piglet, on the other hand, imagines all the possibilities that are before him. What an exciting thing. What exciting thing is going to happen today? That's his outlook on things. You know, what exciting, what's new? What's going to happen today? Now, we all know, again, that these are two made-up characters. But still, which one are you more inclined to identify with? You know, are you more like Pooh? Or Piglet? Seems to me that rather than being concerned with satisfying ourselves, we should be on the lookout for what is exciting and going to happen today. Too often we're thinking about what we need in us while God is out there imagining all the great things he could do through us. 2014, I believe, was a season to celebrate, and 2015 can be even better. But it starts with that review, refocus, and renewal, and imagining all the great things that God can do through you and me. And today, if you have reviewed your life and found that your focus has not been on Christ, then I'd like to encourage you to renew your commitment to Him today. Perhaps you've never committed to Christ to begin with by your confession of faith and baptism into Him. Well, know this, 2014 still has 84 hours left, and you can make this year even better, a better season to celebrate by becoming a Christian today. So whether you want to make the decision to put Christ on in baptism, or maybe you have some other need that we might be able to help out with, if you need to, please come forward as we all stand and sing the song that was selected.